Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Well, happy Monday. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Friday, we talked about the Westwood Country Club property. Dan Gagliardo called in. His opponent, Sean Lavin, who is the deputy supervisor now, is in studio with us today. Sean, welcome to the show.
Joe, thank you for having me.
Lots to get into, but let's start with that Westwood Country Club property. My whole point why I brought it up is the county, you know, approved another almost $4 million for that project.
Yeah.
Now, you look at that project on Sheridan, and I remember when it was open, because I delivered for Lenova, and I remember taking orders there when I was a delivery driver. But it's been closed for about a decade. There have been a lot of proposals to do things with it from Amherst. So before we get to what it is now, those projects that Amherst proposed, why did we never get there with Amherst?
So it's actually longer than a decade. It's closer to 15 years, right?
And, I am old.
Yep, it's about 15 years. I think it was 2009 it went for sale, just to be exact. And then for most of the term, for at least I got into office in 2018, the Westwood Country Club was not owned by Amherst. It was owned by a group of partners who were hoping to develop that property. So Amherst took it over about 3 years ago. We bought the parcel. You know, once we had ownership of it, we could make hard decisions on, we have committed to the residents, this is going to be green space. So yes, it's been a long time, but for the most part, it was the owners and partners who owned that property for as long as they did.
So Amherst has it now. This is just a curiosity question. Why are all the cars parked there?
That's Northtown Auto. They lease, they rent space from us to park those cars.
Okay. So Amherst had a few plans. They all went under or didn't get approval?
So we had anticipated having a kind of more active park there. Okay. We wanted a musical fair. We wanted to move B&HV. And the residents had a permissive referendum and said, that's not what we're interested in doing. We want green space. We want it to kind of replicate what it currently is. So we kind of looked at the drawing board and said, okay, we're going to move off those musical fair plans and B&HV, and we're going to move into kind of a passive green space park.
So Erie County takes it over.
Erie County would maintain and upkeep and all the construction that would come with rebuilding that park so it can be usable.
So Amherst doesn't see a dime from this project now that the county has it?
So this, we're not a revenue generating
entity. Right. No.
But you're right. So we bought the property. The county is going to take over the construction, the upkeep, the manpower. And then ideally in about 18 to 24 months, the fences come down. We have walkable trails. We have 9 holes of golf.
Would this have been possible without the county?
No, I think the county's resources with their parks department, they have all the planning, they have all the manpower required because they do this already, right? So Amherst doesn't have to hire rangers or hire the golf people. The golf, I'm sure, is a word for the technicians who operate the course. We don't have that, right? And we're not interested in investing in that. And the county already does. So to them, it's an easy solution.
I have a friend who does that for the PGA. And yeah. You're right. I have no idea what the proper term is.
I have no idea.
He's the guy that gets the greens ready.
That's fine. I'll take that term.
Now, your opponent was on Friday. He called. Mm-hmm. He called in. We were talking about this. And he said that he had a group of developers that were going to look at the property and that he was pretty much locked out. What is your response to that?
Well, we have fences up there. We have liability issues. We don't just let anybody go on the park, right? I don't go on the park.
But was there ever looking into keeping it a golf course or making it a golf course and doing what the county's doing, but with Amherst, where Amherst would be responsible, but Amherst might also be able to charge for passes or something like that?
I mean, you could always explore those options, right? In a perfect world, you could say we have the resources, we have the golf people, again, the rangers, the starters. We don't, right? So that's, I would like to say, yeah, in a perfect world, we can just wave a wand and that's 18 holes of golf for everybody. That's not the case. The county has those resources. The county ledge voted 10-1 in favor of providing those resources to Amherst. So I, you know, it's such an opportunity for us to finally give that parcel some life. It's been 15 years now when people have not been able to use it in any way, shape, or form.
Now, this is a question. I know this has no standing because it already is the county's. But if the county hadn't taken it over, mm-hmm. do you think Amherst would have eventually been able to do something with that?
I just think the timeline, eventually the answer could be yes, right? In enough timeline, you can accrue enough resources to do that. I'm not of any interest in waiting another decade.
Right.
It's been 15 years. We have to find a solution for residents. That's my responsibility as a public official. I do everything I can to do that for them, but I just don't want to keep waiting. It's not worth it. Another decade, my kids will be out of the house.
Right.
No way.
Yeah. Now, driving on down Sheridan, a lot has been made about the Boulevard project. Mm-hmm. Doug Jamal, who was ready to take it over, says he's been frustrated with Amherst.
Mm-hmm.
From your point of view, does Doug Jamal have a point? How do you see this all shaping up?
I mean, from the Boulevard Mall perspective, we're still on a timeline to start demolition in the near future. By we, I mean the owners of the property. So Mr. Jamal has a lot of properties that are currently in flux, one being the Richardson building you might have read about in the paper. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the internal pieces that work on his business side of the house. I'm not aware of anything like that, but I can tell you the town's fully committed to redeveloping the Boulevard Mall with our partners who own that parcel.
And that is still the town center, the original plan?
A kind of a dense town center, right? You also have to understand from the Boulevard Mall perspective, and I've been going to a lot of door-to-door lately, and a woman said, "Why? What's taking so long with the mall?" Well, in the highlight of the mall, let's say the 80s, you had a couple hundred people in there, and you know, you had some people using the bathroom, but you didn't have showers, you didn't have any of that. We had a $31 million Westside Interceptor sewer reconstruction project that's going to allow for people to live there, use showers, bathrooms, because you cannot add people living there without the sewer capacity to do it, right? That's just not how infrastructure works.
So is that something that's going on now, or is that the first step?
Happening in real time as we speak.
Okay. Now, you know, I drive through the Boulevard Mall property. There's a Spirit Halloween about to open.
Of course.
In a Bye Bye Baby that that was part of where I used to work, which that's a long story. We'll get to that later. And you see some of these outside stores. You see Macy's. We know the back and forth with Penny's in the town.
Mm-hmm.
What's the future of those Men's Warehouse is another one. What's the future of those outer stores that people are still going to?
I mean, I would say to the owners of that property on the Boulevard Mall, I think they're going to be very helpful in finding a home for the commercial properties that still want to stay local and do business in Amherst. Again, I don't do any of the leasing. I don't do any of the renting. Right. It's, you know, the town's job to provide infrastructure so companies can build and expand. So it's hard for me to get into the nuances there. But I would argue that they'd probably be partners in those companies looking to move to a different location.
Would you say, as Amherst is today, that it's a business-friendly town?
I would.
The most business-friendly town. You know, New York State, a lot of people would say, not as business-friendly. Some people would say that about Buffalo. Would you say Amherst today, out of where we live, one of the most business-friendly?
Yes.
Now driving down.
Sure.
Station 12.
Sure.
one of my, I probably bring up Station 12 once a week.
At least.
And my problem is, I grew up in Amherst, right? I'm an Amherst guy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember when that was, I saw LMFAO at the old Bon-Ton there, okay? When it was the Northtown Plaza. And again, the Northtown Plaza was, let's be honest, stores were leaving. Mm-hmm. But now this was built up. I realized COVID happened. I realized there are outside developers. But to your knowledge and in the control of Amherst, what is going on at Station 12?
So we've gotten permits just most recently. That was in Buffalo Business First about companies trying to fill those vacant properties. But you have to understand, Station 12 started long before I ever came into office.
Okay.
So I want to say it was 2015. I didn't take office until 2018. But nonetheless, you know, if a company owns the parcel, pays their taxes, have not violated any true building codes, right? Yes, I want them to occupy storefronts and have a bustling, you know, kind of commercial property. I can't force them to have tenants.
Right.
I would love to. But we've also expanded a lot of that area on the boulevard. You're seeing a lot of companies coming into Amherst that you're not finding anywhere else.
I just, you know, you look across the street and both are Amherst, but you know, when Station 12, as you said, was announced, mm-hmm. there was a TJ Maxx, a Home Goods, and a Toys R Us across the street. Since then, those stores have left.
Yeah.
New stores have come in.
Yes.
Five Below is at it. I mean, that is more of a happening plaza than I ever remember it as a kid.
Same.
And Station 12, where we heard, and again, I know there's the developers and there's the town, but there was so much buildup from the town mm-hmm. about the Station 12 and what it was going to mean. And then you drive by it, and I mean, Sheridan's one of the busiest roads, and it's an eyesore.
It is an eyesore. And I'm disappointed as you. The initial drawings for that property, they had kind of the rope lights, walkable, picnic tables, people kind of commingling around. And it just didn't come to fruition. And that's unfortunate. I think it's one of the byproducts of our pandemic. Good, bad, or indifferent, right? I can't do much to change what we went through in 2020. But I can say that permits are being applied for and they're being expedited for the fall.
Okay. And that would be to complete the dirt area and tear down the old tire shop.
I could say permits to go into some of the vacant parcels they have.
Okay. There. So tenants would actually be
correct.
Moving in.
Correct.
Because Pottery Barn and Williams-Sonoma mm-hmm. were supposed to be original part of that.
They were.
And now they're not in Western New York.
Correct.
So we'll have to see what happens.
I'm hoping they come back.
Yeah, yeah. Now, another project that your opponent brought up that I'm just giving you the fair chance.
Sure.
Costco in Amherst. Mm-hmm. Now, we see the Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean, mm-hmm. that's going to be up by next spring.
Yep.
Costco, there's been a few delays. Again, I know only so much is in the control of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we stand on that Costco? And where do we stand on alleviating traffic issues when Costco's here?
Costco spring of 26.
Okay.
So spring of 26. So you're absolutely right. Dick's is building up a lot faster. It's going up really quick. And everyone kind of asked me, my family included, Sean, where is Costco? They love Costco. Costco, if you think about it, is really just a giant barn. It's just a giant warehouse. So the construction is not the same requirements that Dick's has. So it's going to go up a lot faster. And really it comes down to the training of the employees and the housing of all the, you know, the retail goods. So Costco and Dick's are still slated for the spring of this year.
Okay.
Now, to the delays, you have to remember, a lot of that went into demolition. A lot of that property was occupied by other buildings that had to come down to make way for those companies like Dick's and Costco. And that kind of added to some of the, because Costco's been 2.5-3 years in the making.
Right.
Right. So I acknowledge that. But at the same time, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. And we're going to do everything we can to mitigate the traffic. They've lined up the driveways for the entrance of Dick's and where you come out of Trader Joe's right there. We've looked at extending North Bailey to make a turning lane and add smart traffic signals. I acknowledge that traffic is an issue, but we are doing everything we can at a town level to make that easier for people to shop.
Am I right in saying that road between Planet Fitness and Catalyst is going to go straight into that parking lot? It looks like they've kind of paved out to where it would continue going.
There'll be an exit there, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Okay. And you said spring of 26.
Still the plan.
All right. Now, I want to ask you about something that I'm going to talk about in the next segment. But, you know, this is a campaign, right? I mean, you still have to do your job on the board, but run a campaign. You look at Brian Culpa, who's the current supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his time as Amherst. Obviously, you're going to get attacked for things Culpa did. Is there anything you would do differently during Brian Culpa's time as supervisor?
You know, I think Brian came in and he knew that Amherst needed some significant attention on some of the parcels that have just kind of lingered in the ether for years, right? And one of my prime examples is the parcel on the corner of Kenmore Ave and Niagara Falls Boulevard. I went to JJ's Cafe as a kid all the time, and it was a gas station, and then it became nothing but a trash kind of, maybe no benches, just trash and rocks. So, you know, Brian came in and said, look, this is part of our community. The neighbors are, you know, tired of picking up trash and the people that kind of hang out there and kids. Let's take that and make it a park. And that's what we did, right? We just had a little bit of green space, a bench. And I think that's kind of indicative of Brian. He kind of said to himself, we have to invest in ourselves. And he did. From my perspective, we need to get back to focusing on services, right? Roads being plowed timely, accurately. Our senior center, Amherst youth camps. These are the things that we need to do, get back to basics at, right? Our big investment period's over with, I think, and we need to kind of start focusing on what makes this a great community.
You said services, and I hear this complaint from my parents, but more than just my parents. Sure. My parents live in Amherst. Garbage pickup service.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say that garbage pickup has gotten lazier, to where cans are in the middle of the road now. Okay. You see more trash falling, you know, coming out that's not going into the truck. Is that a complaint you're hearing? And is that something that Amherst could address?
We do address it, and it's complaints I do hear.
Okay.
So it's twofold. In the defense of Modern, who does our garbage pickup, if it's a windy day, those totes will make it a half a mile down.
Of course, yeah.
So, but you're right. If we have trash, if they miss a street, if they miss a pickup, I get emails regularly. I'm in touch with Modern to say, hey, you missed a spot. We have a refuse employee who handles just the complaints that come in about Modern. He's incredibly good at his job, and he's always kind of pivoting to say, you missed a street, get back. Yard trimmings haven't been picked up promptly. So he's really good at that too. So we put a lot of resources into making sure that is taken care of.
Have you ever considered making it to where people can pick their trash pickup like they do in some places across this country?
At any given day?
Just no, any company, like bring a competitor in.
There's just not a lot of companies that do that.
Okay.
There's just not a market like you think there is. Like, right. If I wanted to go buy golf balls, I could, you know, there's 30 different opportunities. But when it comes to garbage, you have to get landfill permits. You have to have certain OSHA requirements and trainings. It's just a big process to build off the ground.
When I have to buy golf balls, I just go to the front desk and the ones they found and put for $1, that's the ones I take.
Oh, I'll even go cheaper than that, man. I lose them too quick to be of any use.
Yeah. Now, this Metro Rail story, I'm going to talk about this in the next segment. As I told you off the air, I am a public transportation guy. I grew up taking the subway. I took the subway when I was in college, but I've always lived close to a subway station until now. I mean, I live in Clarence Center now, but always close to the train. Now, the talk has been to expand this to UB North to connect all the campuses, the medical campus, the South Campus. The new plans have it going down the Boulevard, down Maple Road, down Sweet Home, into UB North, taking away driving lanes. Mm-hmm. In a town, let's be honest, we'd like to get in our car and be somewhere in less than 20 minutes.
Yep.
You look at these plans. I'm sure they've come across you guys at the town council, town board. What are your thoughts of the Metro Rail extension? First, do you like the idea of expanding it, and is it realistic?
I'll start with the second one first. Not realistic.
Okay.
I mean, if I know what it costs to build something like that, and I just don't see a world in which those monies come from the federal government to expand the Metro Rail. And so what I tell people is that if the funds exist, if there's a check that shows up on the doorstep and says, here's the money when we're ready, that's worth a conversation. But right now, I just don't see that happening. So to me, it's not something I'm engaged in.
All right. Anything else on the town that's coming up in the campaign that you want to bring up that I didn't ask you?
No, not really. I think residents are excited the way Amherst is going. I'm excited to reach out to them. I go door to door regularly to talk to about what issues they're facing and some of the things. And a lot of the residents, we really like living here. I love Amherst myself. It's a great community. So I've got a lot of that feedback. So I'm hoping we can keep that trajectory going.
Any planned debates with your opponent?
I know the League of Women's Voters has a debate at the Amherst Senior Center in the fall. We usually attend that with the League of Women's Voters. That's the only one I can think of.
I got to ask you this. You're a Democrat.
I am.
And you're the second Democrat to be on in the last 2 hours. We had Mitch Nowakowski was on with David at noon after James Gardner called in.
Okay.
But there are people like Sean Ryan, Mark Poloncarz, who refuse to come on. You know, I mean, Sean Ryan's in an election right now, won't come on this station. What do you say to Democrats like that? You are very open with your time. I mean, we could ask you. I'm sure you'll come back on tomorrow if we wanted. I mean, that's great. Why are there some people like Sean Ryan, like Mark Poloncarz, like, I'm forgetting one, but I know it'll come to mind as soon as you walk out of the studio, that won't come on the station that, you know, might have to talk to someone who has a differing opinion?
I don't speak for anybody but myself.
I know. But, like, from the party point of view.
Yeah.
Isn't this the, you know, if there was a liberal-leaning station, I would imagine that Republicans would want to go on and get their message out there. Don't you think this would be where Democrats would want to come and get their message out?
Well, I can only speak for Sean Lavin.
I know.
We have 130,000 residents in Amherst. And we have all sorts of ethnicities and genders and political affiliations. And come January, if I'm elected, I'm representing all of them.
That's
whether they like me or not, they might hate me, but I'm going to wake up every morning and what can I do to make this community a great place? So I'm here because they're listening right now. And I hope they hear what I have to say because I think it's important because that's what I believe. So I can only speak for Sean. I'm happy to come on here. I'm happy to continue to come on here. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I like that. And like I said, we might have some disagreements, but always appreciate the time and look forward to talking to you again. And, you know, if you guys want a second or third debate, Hardline's always open.
Okay. Well, congrats on the weekday show. I look forward to my next visit.
I appreciate it. That is Sean Lavin. He is the deputy supervisor running for supervisor against Dan Gagliardo. If you missed my interview with Dan, you can find that on demand at WBEN.com, the Odyssey app from Friday's show. But I'm sure they'll both be back on. I would say this is the second largest election going on other than the city of Buffalo.
I would agree.
Yeah. So we'll have a lot of spotlight on that. And when we come back, we'll take your calls. I see a few have lined up. 803-0930, star 930.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthshare.org.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Oh, John. We got to work on that chemistry, man. Katrina in the waves. I love 80s music. That might be one of my least favorite songs of all time. No, I love John Anthony. John, you play whatever you want because you're cool about it and you'll let me say whatever I want. Katrina and the Waves might be one of the worst 80s songs of all time, but I love John Anthony. I'm happy he's here today. 803-0930, star 930. Thank you so much to Sean Lavin for joining the show. And we've got some callers lined up, so let's get your reactions to what he said. If there's something you want to check him on, that is what we are here for. We'll just move everything on down the line as the topics Joe wants to talk about, because the callers and listeners come first. That's how I do it. Let's go to Andrea in Gettysville. Andrea, thanks for hanging on.
Thank you, Joe, for allowing me to call into your show. I really appreciate it. I had a question for Deputy Supervisor Lavin, that I was hoping he could answer, because the town of Amherst, they spent over $30 million for the Westwood property, and I have a list that of all the costs and all the bonding that totals over the $30 million. And that total doesn't include the additional millions for planning and consulting costs. And now Dan Gagliardo, he suggested that the Jack Nicklaus Group come in, and he had all the insurance information they required. So that liability issue, I don't know where he's coming up with that, because we were ready to take on that problem. But they had the property locked up. Dan was barred from the town to enter it, and he was told that if we stepped on the property, that would be illegal. Now, however, Dan, he went ahead and he did a cursory assessment of the perimeter. Then he sent to them a assessment from the Jack Nicklaus Group. Now, this assessment was in line with what the residents of Amherst want. So our question is, why are they ignoring the voice of the residents, giving up this property, this prime property, and they're giving it away? We're going to lose home rule, and they're giving it to the county for $1. That's my question to Deputy Supervisor Lavin.
You know, Andrea, that's great insight, and I should have asked the question about the money lost on this property that Amherst won't see a dime of, won't be able to get back. And I know he says they're not, you know, not in the business of making money, but you don't want to be in the business of losing money either. Look how that's working out for the city of Buffalo.
Correct. Yeah, that's very wise of what you're saying, because that's what we're angry over. And if he would listen to the voices of the residents, bring in the Jack Nicklaus Group, we can make this property a moneymaker for the town of Amherst. And then we would look at the Audubon Golf Course and do redevelopment of that. But, of course, they're not listening to us as usual.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, and this is just, and again, I'm thankful that Sean came in. Here's how I view it. I view it as an election year was coming, and they didn't want another project to be pointed at by Republicans, and it was a bailout by the county. I could be wrong. That's how I think it looks.
No, you're not wrong. That is correct. That's a correct assessment. All of a sudden, we have an election coming up, and now they're going for the bailout.
100%. Hey, Andrea, appreciate the insight and the calls on this. And Andrea's been on top of this for a while now, and appreciate her input. Let's go to Colleen in Amherst as well. Colleen, thanks for hanging on.
I'm sure disappointed I didn't get a chance to quiz him on how much they spent on Amherst Park, because it's well in excess of $31 million. $2.4 million to replace the football fields they removed from Audubon, $1.7 million to replace the baseball field, $1.7 million. Four Amherst girls softball fields, now on the gun club, $1.8 million, and they placed them on leased land that they were forced to buy later, the gun club. They had an $11 million redirection of taxes from the UBMD sales contract written in, and they had to, it was a unique program where all of the sales tax and school taxes from Sweet Home School District for $11 million for the next 20 years will be redirected to something called the Amherst Central Park Infrastructure Fund to pay for all of this. Then they bought Westwood for $7.8 million. They, this part of the sales contract for UBMD required the town to put $3.5 million road extension in for North Maplemere, and the UBMD built it, and the town was required by the contract to pay it back. So they bonded for that. And then they had to buy the gun club to preserve the $2 million worth of new softball fields that they placed on leased land. And the football fields, one of them is on leased land out at the Jurek Post. This was terribly irresponsible. This is the reason 2 days after the last election, Amherst residents got an 11.4% tax increase. And there's more coming. And they also voted for another $11 million for the bond for musical fair that the town residents stopped. That's a $41 million investment that Sean Levin voted unanimously with the town board, and now they want to give it to the county. You say this is a bailout? That's an underestimation. It's quite incredible what the town of Amherst has gotten away with.
It's eye-opening. It's eye-opening, all the money spent. And like you said, the situations where they were forced to buy because of bad deals made.
This man would place millions of dollars of town property on leased property. It makes no sense. And when they removed those football fields and softball fields and baseball diamond, they disrupted thousands of Amherst residents and families who had to find other places to play while the town of Amherst did this. And every single thing that I'm telling you was related to Amherst Central Park. They developed what's called a PIF fund, P-I-F. It's a project investments fund with the AIDA. They expected to get $200 to $300 million worth of taxes from new development at Audubon. That would be redirected into a special fund. It was an absolutely masterful arrangement that could have funded our parks and recreation system for the next 20 years. However, the town blew it because they didn't have the developers. They had 52 acres in addition to UBMD at Audubon that they wanted developed to create this $200 to $300 million. COVID hit, and they failed to recognize that banks weren't lending money for this. Developers did not glob on and follow through because they couldn't get bank funding, the interest rates were going up, the costs were soaring, and nobody bit. So now you just mentioned Business First talking about permits starting again. So rather than waiting to what is happening now is the banks are lending money now, they're bailing and throwing the property over to the county. It's bizarre. It's a complete financial disaster.
Sounds that way, Colleen. And, we focus so much on the wrong turns the city of Buffalo's taken. It seems like Amherst gets to avoid the criticism on a larger level.
Well, we're giving them permission, so consider this election a referendum on financial mismanagement. Don't vote red. Don't vote blue. Vote green.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Colleen, thanks for the call. Colleen in Amherst, 803-0930, *930. I mean, eventually you do have to look at spending, right? And, you know, where money was spent wisely and where money was wasted. And, you know, as there are people in Amherst who are paying more in taxes now, and I think that's weighing on the minds of the residents. Are steps being taken to make sure that the least burden is put on the taxpayers, right? I would say that weighs on my mind when I go to the ballot box. Am I going to be responsible to pay back or to make up for poor decisions made? Again, it depends on the election, at the town level, at the county level, at the state level, at the federal level. And I think that's what a lot of people are bringing to the table here. And we will continue with Dave, who is up the road in East Amherst. Dave, your thoughts.
All right. So the first big comment here is Amherst should not be developing anything itself. There's an Amherst IDA and an Erie County IDA. They can do their own financing. They can make their own arrangements. They can give out the cookies to the developers themselves without involving a single taxpayer being charged for any of this. So the fact that somebody needs to feed their ego and say, well, you know, I need to be the one who developed this fantastic park, is absolutely ridiculous. There's two entities that should have been involved. So that's my first comment. Then you look into this whole structure, and I would have loved to be able to have Sean Lavin respond to this. I would ask him if he would be willing to commit to changing the format of the Amherst Town Board meetings so that all of the questions that are asked from the speakers are actually answered. Brian Culpa basically says, I'll answer them at the end. So as an example, I went up and asked, I don't know how many questions. One of them was answered. And it happened several times. If you go back and you look at any of the stuff on YouTube. So I would ask him to commit to some kind of interaction. The only thing you hear of any of those other town board members is every once in a while one of them belches out seconded when Brian Culpa reads through some gigantic resolution. It's absolutely ridiculous. So those are my thoughts.
Hey, Dave, appreciate your thoughts. And we will have Sean here again. We'll have him address a lot of the stuff that you guys are bringing up. Really appreciate that. Let's get to Gordon, who is also in Amherst. Gordon, your thoughts.
Good afternoon. Just a couple comments real quick. I've been in touch with the town, with the county, with all the town departments. I live at the intersection of Beaumont Parkway and Meyer Road. And that little road that the deputy supervisor indicates will be an exit doesn't ring true to me. There's been attempts already to rename Beaumont Parkway as Costco Way, which fortunately the planning board has voted down, but it's still hanging out there on the fringe. The intersection there and the general traffic on Meyer Road is a nightmare. And I sent an email to the deputy supervisor, and he passed me off to somebody else who doesn't want to come out here. Said I should send them my concerns by email, and I can't get a warm body out here to even look at this mess. My concern is that this is going to become a major intersection and a main thoroughfare as an access to Costco, and all I hear is crickets out of the town as to what the scope and the timeline is on this project. I'm very frustrated, and I will continue to give them the opportunity to reply, but Mr. Lavin's suggestion on an earlier interview with another station, I think, he said, I'd be more than happy to meet with, not to quote him, more than happy to meet with anyone who has concerns, have a cup of coffee, and we'll talk. That's not happening. The response from the town has been absolutely zero. And I'm frustrated, and I've had my opportunity to vent, and I thank you.
Hey, Gordon, let me ask you. So you live at Belmont and Meyer, you said?
Beaumont, yeah.
Beaumont. When they tore those buildings down to make way for Costco, did that cause an infestation problem in the neighborhood?
It's they've driven all the wildlife out of here. They dug a huge retention pond in my backyard, which is home to 40 or 50 geese. So forget about sleeping in. They're marching all over the place. They with no notice from the town or the developer, they ripped that access road through down my property line. Within days, and I heard nothing from anybody about, yes, it's going to happen. This is what it is. Nothing, and now they keep safety coning it off part of my driveway as well. And again, county, town. No response. So I will continue to give them the opportunity to respond as soon as I get my email straightened out. But again, very frustrated with the lack of communication and the transparency that Mr. Lavin indicated was foremost in his mind.
Hey, Gordon, appreciate the call. Yeah, I would say anyone who's listening to this, you know, it would be nice to communicate with Gordon and people who live in the area what's going on on their property, near their property, to their street. I mean, a lot of people who've lived there for decades want to know what changes are coming to their neighborhood. I don't think that's ridiculous to ask. And, you know, it's a big project. I know a lot of people are excited for the project, but you got to keep those in the area in the loop. They shouldn't be hearing what's happening to their property or near their property on the radio station. I mean, they should know that before we say anything about it. So hopefully someone's out there listening, and I'm sure they know Gordon from his emails, and get in touch with Gordon. I mean, and people who live there. They shouldn't have to ask to have an update on what's going on. You know, I remember a time when you used to get, you know, a letter in the mail. Hey, you know, just so you know, there's going to be some work down the street. Down the street in your neighborhood. If you have any questions, you know, contact your member of government that's responsible for the property this is happening on. So I don't even think it should necessitate an email or a phone call. I think it should be, you know, someone going door to door in that neighborhood saying, hey, just wanted to let you know this is what's happening. Do you have any questions for me? Anything that I can get for you? Again, I don't know how to politician. I'm just saying that's how I would view it. If this was happening in my backyard like it is Gordon's, I'd want someone on my doorstep explaining what the hell's going on. That's all. Excuse me. Sorry. Let's go to Liz in Amherst. Liz, thanks for hanging on.
Yes. This is another question regarding transparency. And it involves, as of the first of the year, the people that were bussed up from New York City to Cheektowaga and then transferred over to the Red Roof and eventually Motel 6 in Amherst. We have no specific numbers of those people that are transferred, and we don't have a specific number of family units, meaning parents and children. The number keeps changing. So that is my address to the board, of which Sean is a participant of. They've just disappeared, and the Jewish Services of Western New York have received a contract of, I believe, approximately $24 million, and nobody addresses it anymore. So, and then an aside to this is, if Sean Levin is aware of, there have been lawsuits won by women who were trafficked through other U.S. Red Roof Inns. There are a lot of media articles published, and those women have been allowed to go to court. One was in Ohio, and is he aware of that, that the Red Roof Inn is known for trafficking people?
Well, let's just say the hotels. So that's a story out of Ohio?
One of many states. There were multiple states that allowed the trafficked women to proceed and go to court, and they won in court. And I can provide those for Sean Levin. Actually, I'll email them to him. I'll email him at least one article from Ohio, but there are others.
All right. Liz, to your initial point of the story kind of just went away, I will agree that we don't hear much about the migrants that were in Cheektowaga, that were in Amherst. You're right. They were quietly moved from one hotel to another in the middle there. And it is a story that kind of went away. What districts, you know, we were told the districts would not have to have any of the burden of the financials. Is that true? Were they reimbursed? A lot of those questions we have not had answered. To the other story that Liz said, that's not anything that I have seen. I'm not saying that Liz is lying or not. It's just, you know, that's something we have to look into. And like I said, I'm sure she'll email Sean Lavin that. But to her initial point of the migrants in Erie County, we were told that it was not going to cost the county, school districts, towns a dime. Did that ring true? That is a question I would like to hear from a county or state official. By the way, I appreciate the call. 803-0930, star 930. And the danger that people, that the migrants were in, being housed together. We know what happened in Cheektowaga, right? So it's not like that's the first time we're hearing anything. We know of the arrest that happened with the migrants in Cheektowaga. And so, again, it's something that definitely needs to be unpacked. The problem is, are we going to get the real, the truth behind this? Or are we going to get talking points? 803-0930, star 930, back after this. Hey, welcome back. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm going to get to your calls. Don't worry, I didn't have you hold to not take your call. But I want to give some uplifting, positive news today. So and also show you how the internet is, you just can't believe what you hear on the internet. So this morning, there were rumors that Deion Sanders was going to step away from coaching for health issues, right? And his press conference was him stepping down. Actually, the press conference was to say that he's returning to coaching after after surgery that successfully removed his bladder cancer. So, great news for Deion Sanders and his family. God bless him. God bless his family. And he is cancer-free after successful surgery. So, I thought that was some positive news. But also, I mean, all morning, people on social media, oh, he's going to step down amidst a health struggle. No, it's actually good news. The surgery was successful. And he will be back coaching. He even joked and said, if there's a porta potty on the sideline, you understand. So I just thought I would share that to kick off this hour. 803-0930, star 930. Sean Lavin was with us at the top of the show talking about all Amherst issues, including the Westwood Country Club. He did go on to say that Amherst is not in the money-making business. While we talked about that property, it going over to Erie County and some of the other properties in Amherst. And I promised that I would give you guys a chance to respond. And I did not think it would bleed into the second hour, but I am a man of my word. So we've got two calls on hold. We'll take those and then we'll move on to the next topic. How's that sound? Joe in Amherst is first. Joe, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Joe. I got to compliment you. What a great program. What a great job you're doing. With your new assignment there. It's great. I love it. I listen to it every day.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I couldn't believe what this guy said. The comment that really got me was when he said, residents are so excited about how Amherst is going. Yeah, they're excited, all right. They're ready to jump out a window, second floor. It's unbelievable how out of touch this character is. And by the way, I'm a member of the Amherst Concerned Citizens Group. I need to get that in. I had so many questions for him. Like, I wanted to ask him about the light project, the street light project that they put in for millions of dollars. The lights are now breaking and they can't get anybody to repair them. I'm telling you, Joe, millions. I wanted to talk to him about Damon College and what went on there. I understand that Brian Culpa has a relative on the board there, and they got all kinds of favorable treatment for a sports field and everything else that goes with it for $1 a year, and we would get second, Amherst residents would get second choice to use it. I wanted to ask him how he felt about Musical Fair, why he didn't step up. He doesn't say a word. He stays on his laptop. He hides in the background, and whatever Culpa says and votes for, that's the way he votes. I wanted to ask him, would like to ask him if he felt the board was transparent in any way. Nobody feels they are. They discourage citizens from coming to board meetings. There's just too much to even go on, Joe. I don't want to hold up your program.
Those
are a few of my quick thoughts.
But that last point, because that I hear so often from people who have either gone to town board meetings or, you know, from Gordon, who doesn't know what the hell's going on in his backyard, that says this version of Amherst government, from the board to the supervisor's office, that this Amherst government is not fully transparent. And I hear that from on and on, not just today on this show, but when Amherst comes up, I hear that over and over again. Now, Joe, would you say that's something that's been a long-term thing for Amherst, or is this within the last decade?
I think it began with this particular board, with this Culpa, Berger, Marinucci, and of course, Sean Lavin. That's when it began. I don't know exactly when they took office, I'm only in Amherst, I think it's 9 years so far, maybe 10. I came from the town of Tonawanda. So it's a little different for me, but I'll tell you what, I could not believe the change in Amherst when I got here. I had relatives that lived here, and we used to come to see them, you know, holidays and everything, and we always admired the town of Amherst and where my relatives lived. It was a beautiful neighborhood. They got services, everything. They loved it. Something definitely happened along the line, because it is not like that now. And the garbage talk, please. He does not know what he's talking about. Believe me when I tell you. Somebody gave him a script. Maybe Culpa, maybe somebody on the board said, here, talk about these things only. Far-fetched. God forbid he should get elected, because then I got to move. I'm telling you the truth. Well, because I don't know what will happen.
Joe, let me tell you, and it's not just my parents, but obviously I pick up my son at my parents' during the week, and you can tell when it was trash day, because they're upset about either the trash was just skipped, their trash can is 8 houses down, and it's a beautiful summer day with no breeze. So I know that's also a big issue in Amherst. Hey, Joe, appreciate the call, appreciate the kind words as well. There, Joe in Amherst, 803-0930, *930. Dan Gagliardo is on the hotline. Dan, we had your opponent, Sean Lavin, on. Your thoughts on his comments?
Oh, first of all, let's take about the liability issue, Joe.
Yes, yeah.
I gave them an insurance certificate that made them additionally insured. So that doesn't hold water. Okay? And unfortunately, I question many of the things that he said. And look, I told you this is not over. The residents were going to have the last word. And if I understand correctly, he did say that it already belongs to the county.
Yes. Yeah. He said that that it's the county's, and that's why they got the extra $4 million just last week.
And it doesn't have to go before the town of Amherst for us to approve it. He also indicated that. I was walking door to door and I caught pieces of what he was saying. I just want to make sure I understand correctly. That's what he had mentioned.
Yeah, I believe he made it sound like the county already owns it. He might have mentioned a vote still has to take place, but I mean he was talking as if this thing is getting started, in the very near future.
Okay, well that's great, because I can promise you that it's not over on my end. I'm going to bat for the residents. I think that what he was saying was just scripted. And I can't wait to have a debate with this man. I'm looking forward to it.
Dan, what do you think about the comment? I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but he pretty much said that Amherst is not in the making money business. Now, I get to a point. Obviously, they have to provide services. But when you talk about the money that will be lost on this property from when Amherst bought it, I just thought that was an interesting, after everything you see happening just down the street in the city of Buffalo.
Well, that just goes to show you his political and business naivety. He doesn't understand that it's not about making money, but you don't give something away so you're losing money. The idea is that we're supposed to hold things so people, we keep their tax rate down, we give them the services that they're paying for. Let's not forget that we need to incorporate business principles to what we're doing. So to make a comment that we're not in the business to make money, well, here's the point. So that means that it was okay for you to spend $194 million on projects such as the lights. So this is okay, or $11 million on Royal Park. So with that mental attitude or that way of looking at things, it doesn't matter how much we rack up. And we've got $200 million in debt, and that's going to cost us $500 million. Here's what we're supposed to do. Our responsibility is to put taxes in the coffers. 171 acres going to them means that we're not going to get any money on that property. We have an obligation to make sure that if we could put it on the tax rolls, we do it. And as I told you the last time, Joe, if we can't get somebody to come in and do this, then the town should take it over so we could have a profit center like we have at Autobahn, and that should be what we're doing. But see, they don't think that way. They made a mistake. They've been sitting on this property forever. They've done nothing with it. It's an election year, and they think that the people are going to be fooled by turning this over to the county for $1. $1. And I told you the last time I was on, we've got $20 million invested in this Amherst Central Park fiasco, and that includes the cost of Westwood. So what we have in front of us is just a politician telling you, oh, this is the only thing we can do. That's not true. That's not true. I made a call one day after they said it. I had somebody come down and do it and take a look at it. Did they even call Nicholas? Did they ever make that conversation? Have they tried to do anything with it? Joe, I don't understand the rationale. It's because people who are doing this right now really truly believe that they have the arrogance to believe that everything they do is right. I don't understand it.
I get that feeling from a lot of Democrats in Erie County, Dan.
That's right. So this is a real simple thing. This is not done. I'm rallying the residents. I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm looking forward to seeing what the next steps are here. But it's not over, Joe. It's not over. This is an issue, as I told you. This is probably one of two major issues that people talk to me at these doors that I've been to. I've just about hit 8,000 homes that I've knocked on. And taxes and Westwood, number one and two issues that people talk about at the door. They cannot believe that the town is going to give this away for $1. Cannot believe it.
Dan, let me tell you, I mean, Friday and today, this has been probably, I know the show's only 4 weeks old, but one of the most popular topics on this show. And it's not, we're getting new callers, people who have never called in before. And I mean, like you said, they're pretty upset about that. They're upset about the lack of transparency, especially like Gordon over on Meyer Road. And I am seeing that result in this topic. Like I said, I mean, we're going on the fourth hour of this topic and we still have a ton of calls on it.
And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking my call. And I will keep you updated on everything that we're going to do, Joe.
Appreciate it, Dan. Yeah, don't be a stranger, man.
All right, I'll see you later.
That is Dan Gagliardo. He is running for Amherst Town Supervisor. You heard Sean Lavin earlier in the show. I'm hoping to get both of those gentlemen in the studio at one point heading to November because for two reasons. Number one, I think it's the second biggest election. No offense to the comptroller's race. I realize that's a countywide race. But next to the mayor of Buffalo, I think this is the second biggest election that is happening in Western New York. And both candidates will actually talk to me, unlike in the city of Buffalo, where Sean Ryan still won't get back. And like I said, obviously I have some criticisms. I have some disagreements with Sean Lavin. He knows that. We said it. But you know what? He came in here. He didn't say off the air, don't talk about this, this, and this. I appreciate that. He, is open with his time. He'll be back on the show. And again, this is someone that's coming into an environment where he realizes the host has political differences, that a lot in the audience have political differences, and he continues to come on the show. So that's why I believe I'll be able to get Dan and Sean in studio together, and we can have, I think, what would be a great discussion about the issues. Not going to get that in the city of Buffalo the way it's going now because you have people like Sean Ryan who don't think they have to talk to people who disagree with them, just like Mark Poloncarz, right? Just like Jeremy Zellner. I mean, I'm blocked by the Erie County Democrats and Jeremy Zellner on social media. And, I look at it completely different. If I'm not a politician, but if there was a liberal-leaning podcast and they said, hey, let's get, Joe Beamer, he's a talk show host in Buffalo, Of course I'd go on it. I have confidence in what I'm saying. I have confidence in what I believe, and I also have two ears that I can listen. So, for that reason, I appreciate Sean coming in. I appreciate Dan giving us a call. And like I said, we're gonna make that happen, and hopefully get both of them together in studio. 803-0930 *930. Paul in Orchard Park has sat through all of that, and Paul, you get the last comment in this segment. We appreciate you hanging on.
Oh boy. Hey, I offer my condolences to the folks in Amherst and encourage them to keep pushing. Joe, prior to the break, you guys touched on immigration, shuffling the illegal immigrants around and whether or not we're being reimbursed for it. Do you know or does someone know, and if this is repetitive to the audience, I apologize, but do we have any transparency on what we're spending state, county, local levels, where that money is being resourced from and how it's being collected? Now, what I'm getting at is, I think some years ago, maybe not that long, but we used to have a Medicaid line on one of our tax bills. We don't have that anymore. And I'm just really curious about how many people we're trying to finance through their trials and tribulations here and how the state's going to fund that and the counties. Can you comment?
Paul, that is so, I, I, I would love to, and will, I'd like to do a deep dive. The problem is these numbers, you know, they keep hiding them. I mean, they're right. They're not easy to find. They push back anytime you ask for it. But we were told that school districts were going to be reimbursed for the money they had to spend for the migrant children. We were told that the county and towns weren't putting any money down to house these individuals. But we've seen no proof of reimbursement, and I haven't heard anything back from the school districts. Right. So I'd love to be able to do a deep dive, Paul. The problem is Erie County specifically, they are not as open with their information as they'd like you to believe they are.
So aren't there some buttons we can push? What do we need to do? Is it freedom of information? Is it individuals? Is it our elected people?
The problem with the freedom of information is it's misleading. Yes, there is the freedom of information, but that just means that they have to respond that they're working on it within so many days. But I mean, they can slow that process. They can drag it out for years. It's sad because it should be, you know, hey, you work for us. We want to see these documents. And in 2 weeks, they're on your desk. Unfortunately, that's not happening in Erie County. And, you know, with this Erie County administration, I don't trust that it ever will.
It's really sad.
It is. It is, Paul. But hey, I want you to know that we are working on getting it. We haven't stopped. It's just, I mean, you've got some people that really want to keep everything under wraps in the Rath building.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate that. Love your show.
Thank you so much, Paul. Yep. Appreciate you, man. Paul in Orchard Park. Yeah, that is, I mean, you hear Freedom of Information Act and you think, oh, all right, you put a request in and that stuff, you know, ends up in an email, ends up on your desk. It doesn't. That is the problem. Because, yeah, they have to communicate with you. But they can draw it out as long as they want. I didn't realize that until just a few weeks ago when I asked a question about it. But yeah, they have to get you something, and by something a response. Unfortunately, this, especially with us, this administration in the Rath building doesn't want to work with us. And you know, again, the lack of transparency at the county level I think is very telling. But that's nothing new. I mean, Mark Poloncarz has been the county executive since I was a senior in college and somehow keeps on getting elected. Let's go to Bill in Amherst. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Doing all right, man.
Great show. Hey, I just want to comment on this transparency issue and give you another example of what goes on. The last board meeting, Supervisor Culpa passed a resolution regarding the contract with the chief of police and the deputy chief of police. They gave him a significant raise, 11% of his base, deputy supervisor, 10%. They gave him the ability to sell back a lot of their sick time, which could amount to $30,000-$40,000. But you would never know this thing passed if you didn't know where to go look in the town's website under the meeting packet area. It's buried in about a 600-page PDF document.
Oh, wow.
The problem we have with this is that, and I don't know if people realize this, according to the Amherst Bee, there have been 96 cars stolen in Amherst since March 2nd this year. So why are we pumping up the administrative people's pay? Why aren't we hiring more police officers to monitor these areas? It's ridiculous.
They're looking out for their own, and you know what? I mean, we're seeing that all around New York State, right? They're looking out. They're padding their pockets, but when it comes to public safety, we're handling it. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying anything about our police force. They're great.
Oh yeah, no, that's not what I meant. You know, it's where they want to put the money is more in their pocket, unfortunately.
Exactly. But that's just one example of things that get passed under consent, which means if you're at the board meeting, you don't know what happened. It's a number that's called out and it's passed. It's supposed to be for routine business, but when they bonded out the $34 million to buy the streetlights, they passed that under consent. You'd be sitting there in that chamber and you would never know what happened unless you looked in the meeting packet 2 days after the meeting. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, people want to be involved, and it, again, it's telling at the county level. People want to be involved, but the people who are in charge don't want the residents involved. It's kind of telling.
Yep. Hey, great show. I appreciate it. We're all listening.
Hey, appreciate you, Bill. Thank you. Bill in Amherst, 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, the Metro Rail expansion is out. I'm going to put the map on my socials if you haven't seen it. And again, this is coming from a public transportation guy. I grew up taking the Metro Rail downtown. I actually agree with Sean Lavin on this. This project is not realistic. And I, again, as someone who loves taking the train, I think the ship has passed on this being a viable solution in Western New York. What do I mean? We'll talk about it when we come back. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthshare.org.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Arc Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal arc machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Welcome back. It's been a while since we played some Kiss. It is Beamer here on WBEN. Hope you're having a great kickoff to the week. And my thanks to Sean Lavin, Dan Gagliardo, and all the callers in the first three segments of the show. Thank you so much for letting your voice be heard, getting out there. And again, anyone who wants to come on the show, right, no matter what your political leaning, the lines are open, 803-0930. This is a place for everyone to talk. Yes, you get my opinion, you get Tom's opinion, you get David's opinion, but we want to hear yours as well. You know, David's show today, you heard from Mitch Nowakowski called in. I thought it was a great conversation with Mitch and David. John in Toronto called in to David. You know, again, they have different views, but it was a great conversation. It was nice to hear the back and forth of opinions. And we had Sean Lavin on in the 1 o'clock hour. Brian Nowak, supervisor of Cheektowaga, will be the Democrat Wednesday for my Wednesdays with a Democrat. And shout out to him. He volunteered as soon as we were done with our Nowakowski interview last week. So I want to thank Brian. And, you know, we're going to, every Wednesday, we're going to have a Democrat on. John Rivera said that, you know, he'd be interested in it when we had him on Hardline yesterday. Pat Burke has shown some interest. Jack O'Donnell will definitely be a guest on one of these Wednesdays. So, hey, We're getting the opinions out there because I think it's good. You know, I always say this. I'm more in line with the opinions on Fox News, right? But I will watch a lot of CNN because I know how I feel. I know my opinions. I want to watch, you know, something like CNN. Let's be honest, leans a little to the left, and you know, I want to hear where they stand on certain things and how they got there. What's their rationale? Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have a rationale. You know, and this is something I saw over the weekend where on social media, I was, you know, in a back and forth and someone, you know, and I said, it's nice to talk with people and try to find common ground, to where someone said, Republicans aren't worthy of common ground. And you know, that just struck me as, you know, you're the party of democracy, right? That's what you ran on. You don't want to find common ground. So is this where we are in American politics? You don't want to find common ground because you have such TDS from Trump being in the White House? It's disturbing how many people want to stop the chain of communication because they disagree with one's politics. Another thing I saw that was really disturbing over the weekend was from, you know, a far left account. I'm not saying this is all Democrats or all liberals. Obviously, it's not. But this is from a far left account, and it was scenes from the movie Zoolander, you know, and reacting positively. Now, it didn't say straight out, but we all knew what it was referring to. It said, my reaction when I wake up and see the headline in the paper we all want to see. I'm paraphrasing. I mean, they're talking about celebrating the president dying. I mean, how messed up is that? This guy was shot a little over a year ago, and you've got, let's call them what they are, because I think you've got wackos on the far left who want to talk about celebrating the death of the current president. So these are the people, Mark Poloncarz, you want to be aligned with, Kathy Hochul, Charles Schumer. These are the people you want to be aligned with. Where's the Democrats calling this kind of stuff out? Where are the Democrats talking positively about finding common ground? Now, again, we do have those Democrats. I will shout out people like Mitch Nowakowski, Brian Nowak, Sean Lavin, who was on here in the 1 o'clock hour. And the Democrats that regularly will come on this show, will come on the opinion shows on this station and voice their opinion. These are people who I genuinely believe are interested in finding common ground and talking out political differences. Those are the people that really should be the face of the party. But you've got, again, you've got these people who are, they have been so broken by Donald Trump. And I don't know, again, when we talked about the No Kings protest and the people we saw there, I think a lot of these people are people who are bothered by, are stressed out by, have anxiety over something completely unrelated, and they found the outlet in Donald Trump. They let the media, they let people on the far left convince them that their issues, everything that's gone wrong in their life, is Donald Trump, who has been in politics for less than 10 years. And they have, a lot of people have fallen for it. And they've taken their anger out from something else that's happened in their life. And the reason I say that is I'm not questioning where they stand politically. But a lot of people, again, who will say things like, I can't find common ground with a Republican, or post despicable videos about wishing the president dies. Those are the people that they want to shut off any kind of communication. They're the ones that are saying no common ground. Why? Because they don't have either the intelligence, the confidence in their opinion to have a conversation, to talk about, and to explain why they stand on certain issues they stand on. Now, I have a lot of friends who I disagree with illegal immigration. Right, I will not see eye to eye on illegal immigration. And as much as I disagree with them and think that their rationale is wrong, at least they will have a conversation. At least they can explain to me why they feel the way they feel. But you see some of these interviews from the No Kings protest, from some of these, I'm unhappy today protests that we see all over the country. When they're actually pressed on it, they freak out. They scream like, you know, the girl did at the inauguration in 2017. They call you a fascist, which, again, the people who are calling you fascist don't know what that word means. It's pretty obvious. You know, or they just shut down. They give you a wild answer that makes no sense. And it's successfully, right? You have people who have successfully been convinced that that everything that's wrong in their life, right? Their relationship not working out, them being distanced from their parents, whatever it is, that they've somehow convinced them to take that anger and make it about Donald Trump. And that's how we've gotten to these. I mean, you've got people every freaking day. They're complaining about Donald Trump. I mean, it's every day on social media. Something about Donald Trump. I mean, maybe step away for a week, 2 weeks. Step away from the news if you're that bothered. I mean, you can be upset if you're a big fan of, hey, we should have open borders, and, you know, want to ignore all the issues going on because of that. Fine. If you want more government control, fine. But that's what your post should be about. To make your post about Donald Trump every single day of the week. That is an obsession. Obsessions are not healthy. That right there is an obsession. If your complaint is every day that Donald Trump is the president, but you don't build anything off of that, and it's just regular comments about how you wish Donald Trump was not the president, and how you don't want to talk to Republicans and you're unfriending all your MAGA friends. Well, there's really no substance to a post like that. And, you know, I have seen this firsthand, and I'm going to tell this story. My parents won't be happy that I'm going to tell this story. My parents have a friend. They've been friends with this person for 40 years. And this person puts completely crazy, detached from reality posts on social media on a daily basis. And saying things like, you know, how much they hate Trump supporters, comparing, you know, Trump supporters to Nazis, comparing Trump supporters to slave owners. I mean, just all this stuff completely detached from reality. And this is a person that, and then will, you know, after not talking to my parents for a few months, reach out because they're lonely and they're looking for someone to hang out with. Well, wait a minute. Do you hear all the crap you said about Trump supporters and how you feel? Why would I want to spend any amount of time with this person? Now, I am not in the business of blocking people on social media. That's never been, right? I don't block. Now, I've been forced to because I don't need people talking about my family or whatever. There's no reason to bring that into it. But I am not one to block people. I've been blocked, as we've mentioned, by the Erie County Democrats and Jeremy Zellner. But this person, now again, this is a family, my parents' friend for 40 years, okay? I am her friend's son. She made a comment, oh, I shouldn't have said she, I was saying this person until then, oops. Made a comment, someone had commented how great I was doing on the radio. And now you can debate that point. Right? I know a lot of people will. But they put a comment on that, oh, so you're a right winger or, you know, something along those lines. Remind me now, not to like say, oh, you know, it's good to see people are appreciating the show of my friend's son. No. Just started ripping on a person because they said they liked the show. And apparently if you like the show, that must mean that you're a MAGA right winger and now you deserve a paragraph about why this person's never going to talk to you again. It's insane. That is not a normal way to act. And you know, you'd have to have a little bit of self-awareness to know that. These people are completely void of self-awareness. And again, I'm not saying all Democrats. I know this you know, there's people out there that like to cut clips on the radio and then put a picture of me with the audio playing. They would never post a picture of themselves, but they put a picture of me with the audio playing. So I don't want that to be taken out of context. I'm not saying all Democrats. I'm not saying most Democrats. I'm saying the people you see on social media who talk about how they hate MAGA supporters, they can't find common ground with Democrats, they're posting videos about celebrating the death of the president. Those people are completely detached from reality. And again, the point, reason I'm bringing this up is I am seeing more and more of it pop up on social media. You know, these are the people who 40, 50 years ago were saying we need to come together and all that. Now, they want to make sure that all Republicans, all MAGA supporters, all people associated with Trump are silenced. And they're acting like crybabies because they're not getting their way. And these are the people, you know, the people that were used to getting their way on college campuses. Oh, you don't want Ben Shapiro? We'll cancel his appearance. Oh, you don't want Ann Coulter here? We'll cancel her appearance. And then they're out in the real world and they're freaking out because they can't shut up an opposing opinion. You know, you want to shut up an opposing opinion, actually have a decent comeback. Actually have bullet points and substance to why you are so against what people are talking about. And again, I'm not saying most Democrats, I'm not saying all Democrats, I'm saying the people you have seen that have completely lost their mind when it comes to Trump on social media. I'll tell you who's not like that, Brian Nowak, who will be our guest on Wednesday. He is a Democrat. We do not see eye to eye on politics, but he's a good guy. And, you know, I'm not saying we'll find common ground, but we'll be able to talk out our differences. And I can guarantee you after the interview or after our conversation, Brian Nowak will still talk to me. I don't think he's going to run to social media and block me. Right. And that's why I don't have to agree with you politically to have respect for you or to like you. And so I appreciate him volunteering to come on. And yes, we are looking for our Democrat for the following Wednesday. You know, you can sign up, joe.beamer@wben.com. You can also just follow me on social media and tweet at me or post at me on Joe Beamer on Facebook or at the Joe Beamer on X. And that's that. And what you can do in just a few minutes is listen to Tom Bowerly, who is with us this Monday afternoon. Tom, hope you had a great weekend.
Well, I most certainly did, Joe. It's always a great weekend. And coming up on the show, we're going to start off a quick peek at the weather, which is broiling today and tomorrow. And we'll find out the rest of the week with meteorologist Andy Parker. And after that, Joe, the weekend proved once again why we need common sense knife control. Because of the horrible stabbings in Michigan at the Walmart, a guy who thought he was Jesus and Judas Iscariot decided that he was going to let the Judas out in Walmart and seriously injure a bunch of people, a wide range of ages. And the interesting thing about that story, well, there's a lot of interesting things, tragic things about the story, but the good news about the story is that an armed citizen, a Marine veteran, was packing heat. And once this moron who was stabbing innocent people saw that, hey, I might be seeing Jesus very, very soon, suddenly his tune changed a little bit. And people rallied around the Marine veteran who drew his firearm and told the maniac to throw the knife away just before the police got there. So armed citizens. And frankly, I thought that should have been one of the headlines of the story. And a lot of the stories you got to read pretty deep in order to find out, oh, gee, a gun was actually used to help mitigate a crime.
The guy's a hero. I mean, his praises should be sung throughout the country, and I agree. That should be mentioned in the first paragraph. That's a huge part of the story and why we're not talking about an even bigger event.
Well, and why we're also not talking about common sense knife control right. And common sense vehicle control when a car smashes into people. But it's only the firearms. They get all the attention. But in this case, the firearm may very well have saved some lives or have, let's say, lessened the time of this maniac's assault with a knife.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Tom, I got to ask you something. We're going to get to it, but we didn't.
Only once, and it was New Year's.
we didn't get to it, but, you know, you know Amherst pretty well. You know, outside the studio here, the Metro Rail, they've released plans for an expansion to go down Maple to UB. Do you see that ever happening?
No.
Right?
No, absolutely not. No, because we've been hearing about spurs of the Metro Rail for years, and if it hasn't happened, it ain't going to happen. Let's not forget the original Metro Rail cost $500 million in 1970s money.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So what do we need? Another California train to nowhere?
Exactly.
Buffalo, look, there are many areas where I think mass transit like that makes sense. Buffalo, New York is not one of them.
No. If it ever was going to be, then they would have had to go with the original plan. They just didn't.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing has just been a cluster from day one. Hey, let's close down Main Street. Hey, let's reopen Main Street. Hey, the train goes from UB to, well, what used to be the Odd now is the Arena.
Well, and you can still get off at the big hole that was the Odd.
Yes, if you want to see the remnants of shattered dreams and sports disillusionment.
That's right. Hey, Tom, looking forward to it. Tom Byerly is with us in just a few minutes. I'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Again, my thanks to Sean Lavin, Dan Gagliardo, and all the callers who called in and voiced your opinion on that. That's what this is all about.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.